You know, it's a privilege. It has been a privilege. I think this is the eighth or ninth year, right, that the Harkies have been coming. Since the last 3 years after becoming pastor here, I've got to spend more time than ever with them when they are here. And I will just say the Harkies are the same. This isn't a show. They are as passionate when you are eating lunch with them as they are when they're preaching. And that is, they're the real deal. And we are honored to have them. And, one of my roles, one of my challenges, one of my prayers as a pastor is to help people find their calling in Christ and to launch out in that calling. And so part of that is having people like the Harkies come who can stir us up, stir up the gifts that God has placed inside you, maybe reveal a little bit more of the picture of what God has for you, to encourage you, to bring you comfort. And so it is my privilege, and I hope all of you are excited as we welcome John and Meliana Harkey back to Pebble Creek. Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we give God a shout of praise in the house this evening? Wow. You know, I didn't know it was that long, but it seems like it went yesterday, but it probably is. But we're just so honored to be here, and we're so honored to have each and every one of you. I want to thank Pastor JC and Angela for having us back, and Pastor Dennis and Karen. Give them a hand. Come on. Well, in a moment, I'm going to unpack the word that God laid on my heart for you. Before I do, I want to introduce my beautiful wife, Meliana. Give her a hand as she comes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. You know, I'm just going to share testimony because I have been so blessed. I should have come in early so I can give them some video. Some people tag me today of videos. So maybe tomorrow night I'll show that of what the Lord have done in many of our meetings. So it's just wonderful. But how many is excited to be here tonight? Amen. In the presence of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all lift up our hand again one more time. Let's thank him. Holy Spirit, we want to say thank you. We love you. We adore you. And we worship you, God. Father, what a privilege to be here tonight in your presence, oh God. We gather together, oh God, to worship you, to adore you, God. And not only that, oh God, we came here tonight with an open heart, open mind, open ear, ready to hear from you and receive from you. But before that, we want to give you ahead of time all the glory and honor to glorify your name for what you are about to do, what you already have done, and what you are going to continue to do in this week and continue on here in this church and in this region. We thank you, Father, for the miracle, signs, and wonders. We thank you ahead of time for the souls that will be added to your kingdom. Holy Spirit, you are so beautiful in this place. Before we continue on, oh God, we want to take a few more moments again to acknowledge you and to share with and to show you how much we love you, oh God, how much we thank you for your faithfulness, oh God, how you keep us, oh God, filling us, oh God, with your joy, your love, your peace. And we want to say thank you again, Holy Spirit. You come and have your way, oh God. You come and speak to us. You come and change us, oh God, through your word, as we give you all the glory and honor to glorify your name. We love you, we bless you, and we worship you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was counting. This is, we finished up last two nights ago, our 15 nights in a row, speaking nonstop in three different states. Kentucky, Arizona, and Illinois. Yeah. But here we are again. We can't wait to to hear the word of God. Amen. I'm just going to share a quick testimony again of how faithful God is and how important it is for you and I to obey God, obey his word. Because when we obey his word, his blessings will be on your lives, not only on your lives, but everyone that you influence. I have shared so many stories like what I said. How many churches we were in 2 weeks? Three or four different churches. So I love sharing a lot of stories. So if I share this story here before, you probably need to hear it again. If I forgot where I share it. But again, you probably need to hear it again of how important it is for you and I to obey God. Last year, I'm sure I share with you guys that John and I basically live on the road. And that means we live in hotel. But last year, back in January, we decided to buy a home. Have no idea what is going to happen 2 months after that. And none of us knew what's going to happen. So in January last year, we decided to buy a home. So we bought a home in Florida. That's where our daughter lived and her family, nearby where she lived. And we flew over there, supposed to be there for 2 days. And we went over there to check out the house, everything. And we found out that then when we walk in, churches start calling us and cancel. God knew that they're going to be a shutdown. So instead of being in that home for 2 days, we ended up staying at home for 6 weeks. God is good. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, on our fourth week staying in the house, my daughter came and visited us. They live about 15 minutes away. And when they were visiting us, I think I shared a story here. But anyway, you need to hear it again. Now I remember. So while they were visiting us, I sent them to go to the store, get us some milk and some groceries. Grocery store about 3 miles away from where we live. And about 30, 40 minutes, I got a phone call from my daughter. She said, "Mom, Dad, you guys need to get out." And I said, "Get out? Why?" She said, "Get out from the house and look in front of you, right in front of us, the subdivision right in front of us. Flame was going way up." And I said, "Oh, my gosh." She said, "Mom, you guys better get out. We can't get in. The cops is right here already blocking the road. We can't get in." So I ran back inside the house and said, "Honey, we got to get out." So we ran outside. Our little grandson were with us. Praise God. They left one vehicle with us. So we got out and got in the vehicle. All I had was, I didn't grab any clothes. All I had was what I had on and my purse. Same thing with John. That's all he had. What was his clothes and his bag. And grabbed my grandson. That's all he had was he had on. So when we got in a car trying to get out, praise God, we were able to get out. Kept driving and driving, see if we can find a hotel that is open. Drive so many miles. Finally, we pull in, check out this hotel to see if they're open. Praise God, they're open. It was a Hampton Inn. We went in over there, call our daughter. "You guys keep driving. Come over here. We can all squeeze. We got one room. We found one hotel that's open. They were able to give us one room. And we got in there. All spent the night over there. Went online, tried to check, see what happened to our house, if we still have a home. Couldn't find anything. So we spent the night in the hotel, woke up early, decided let's drive home and see if we still have a home. Kept driving. Finally, we arrived. Subdivision in front of us. All the homes already turned into ashes. 32 homes. So we turned into where we live. There were only 3 houses still standing. My house is in the middle, one house in the left, and one house on my right. So 3 homes is still standing, including my house in the middle and those 2 houses, because the houses are so close to each other. And when we pulled in, I look at those 2 houses, this is what went through my mind. Wow, you guys are lucky because I choose to live here. Yes, that's what went through my mind. You guys are lucky because I choose to live here. And I thought about it. Yes, God has to protect my home, you know. But in order for my home to be protected, those two homes can get on fire. Why? Because we're so close to each other. If those two homes burn down, my home will be burned down also. But again, I thought about this again. Why it's so important for you and I to obey God's word. Why? Because the favor of God, the blessings of God is not only good, it's not only going to be on your life, but everybody that you come in contact with, everybody that you influence, your children, your grandchildren, and everybody surrounding you. Let me tell you what, your obedience to God, that means you love your family, that means you love your neighbor, that means you love your church, that means you love your city, your state, and your nation. Amen? Yes! Praise God! It is important. If we disobey God, we're selfish. Because the blessings and the favor of God will not be in our lives. Yes, we may face crisis, a situation, dark time, just like what we're living right now. But let me tell you what, God's people, God's protection will continue to be on his people. Amen? Early this year, John and I were ministering in California, and then on Sunday to Wednesday, and then we have to get on a plane on Friday, fly to Oregon. We have to do a conference over there. It was a prophetic conference. People has to register, so that means we have to prophesy on those 300 people. So I got airline ticket for my son-in-law who have been here, David, to come and help us with this prophetic conference, to help us prophesy, preaching and prophesy over these people. So Tuesday, I called my daughter. No, I think Wednesday, I called my daughter to remind David to get on a plane, fly to Oregon, otherwise he'll forget to come and help us. So when I called Leilani, who have been here also, when I called her, all I can hear, she can barely talk. Every other word or almost sentence, she has to start coughing so hard. And then can barely talk on the phone. And I said, sweetie, are you okay? And she said, Mom, I have been sick for the last 5 days. And I said, what happened? She said, I've been having fever nonstop, coughing nonstop, so weak, headache, no taste, no smell. You know what I'm talking about. And it is so, so hard on me. And I said, oh my gosh, are you okay? She said, it has been so hard, Mom, almost crying on the phone. And I said, oh, my gosh, listen, the reason why I called because to remind you, to remind David to get on the phone. But listen, don't worry about it. David can come because he has to stay there because they have two small children. Can come because he has to stay there, take care of the children. And after I talked to her, I said, please, sweetie, go and take a lot of liquid, vitamin A, B, C, D, E, zinc, you know, that I know, that I learned, you know. Take a lot of water and do all you can. But before that, let me pray for you. So I start praying, oh, God, please, I believe what your word says. By your stripe, we are healed. Forget not our benefit. You forgive us and you heal us. You send forth your word to heal our body. I quoted every healing scriptures that I know, quoted over her and start praying for her, bind every sickness, COVID, every virus that I know of off from my daughter's body. I said, sweetie, I'll continue to pray for you. She said, okay, Mom, thank you. Hung up the phone, I tell you, and I sat there. Then I came back because we were preaching that night. I came back, sit down in the front row, and I tell you what, my mind was just so consumed with my daughter because we just left a church, I think in Kentucky, a gal same age as my daughter. Went in the hospital with COVID. That COVID affected not only her lungs, got into her heart, damaged her heart, ended up lost all her fingers, her toes, and it was so fresh of my mind. Let me tell you what, I was sitting there at church and my mind was just so consumed with my daughter because of the way she was on the phone. And let me tell you what, I can have crisis problems with the ministry or with my job, but when it comes to my children, parents, you know what I'm talking about. When it comes to my children or grandchildren, it's different hurt, you know? It's different. So I was sitting there, I was so consumed with it. I could continue to pray, and they were taking the offering, and when I just walk in and grab my phone, and they were doing a text giving, I put $500 on the offering. I pray, God, there's a seed for my daughter's health. And I continued to pray. Went home that night and continued to pray for my daughter. Next day, be honest with you, I didn't call her because I just don't want to hear her coughing. You know what I mean? You know, I just don't want to hear her breathing hard on the phone. But then I continued to pray. Then Friday, we're flying to Oregon. I decided to just call on my daughter, check on her, see how she's doing. So I called her and kept ringing. Finally, she picked it up. And when she picked it up, she said, Mom, how you doing? She said, Mom, since you prayed for me on Wednesday night, my fever broke. I said, praise Jesus. And she said, I woke up the next morning. Slowly, my cough went away. I started having my strength. I started feeling totally feel better. And today, I felt much better. And just want you to know, David is on the plane. He's on his way to come and help you guys. And I was thinking, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I didn't tell her I sold $500 for her health. I forgot to tell her, you know. But anyway, I thought about this, you know. Again, when you love God, when you obey God, when you do all you know what to do, you know, let me tell you what, we're serving a faithful God. I just want to make this clear. Just because I sold $500, I want you to know that is not a magic, okay? Or that is not a formula. For God, I'm going to do this and you do that. No, I did that in faith. I did that in faith, believing and trusting God, because God does not move by formula. God moves by faith. And I just want to encourage you, listen, that I have seen it so many times, some people, you know, we invested in our entertainment, invested in other things. The other day, he'd been investing on stocks, you know. I think a couple weeks ago, I heard him say, oh, I said, what? My stock dropped. And I said, let me tell you what, when you invest with God, it on continue to go up, okay? But I have seen so many people, yes, we need to invest. Why we invest? Because we expect a return, right? With other investment, it's going to, let me tell you what, it's going to go up or it's going to drop, okay? But the investment that you make with God, I thought about it. Yes, we need to invest with God and expect God to move in our behalf. Not only that, I believe God looked down. Why I call my daughter is to remind her to remind David to get on a plane to fly into to Oregon to help us preach and prophesy over 300 people. And I thought about this. Yes, maybe we can invest for some of us. Yes, we need to pay our tithe and offering. That was way above my tithe, what I did. But if we can do that, we need to invest. Why we have to fly over there? Why I want that my son-in-law to come help us? To serve the body of Christ. That is the whole purpose. I spend money on a ticket so he can fly in over there, help us pray, prophesy, speak into his body. And it's the same thing. Listen, we need whatever we can. We need to invest our time, our energy on serving the body of Christ. Because let me tell you what, I can put $500, I can give $500 in offering, but I can't heal my daughter. That's why I want to encourage you. Do what you can. Do the best that you know how. Giving, pay your tithe, and serve the body of Christ. And you step aside and let God do only what God can do. Amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a big hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
How many are ready for God's word? How many are ready for God's word? Do I have permission to preach tonight? Well, I'm going to do that. That's for sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I was, as I had the privilege of praying with you guys last night, and I was actually studying a verse of scripture, actually a story, and I really felt led the Lord that God wanted me to lay this, put this down and unpack this particular story. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of things that I want God to do for me. How many want God to do something for you? How many want God to do something for you this weekend? But everybody say this word, impartation. If you don't know what that means, let me explain it to you. Impartation is actually when the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, gives you something that you don't have in order for you to accomplish what he wants you to do. We call that an impartation. Everybody in this room, including myself, needs an impartation. I was telling Pastor JC and Angie this afternoon that about 2 months ago, Meliana and I started a church in Tucson, Arizona. And I'm not a pastor. I don't want anybody to call me a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. But I need an impartation for a pastor. Come on. But because I don't have the ability or the skill set to do that, I do have a burden, but I need an impartation. We were sharing today that how we were sitting down with a pastor friend of mine who's the fastest growing church in Hawaii. We ministered back in June at his church, and we sat down with him, and he's explaining to us all the things he's doing, giving us all these books and information that we need. And Meliana and I read the books, and when we read the books, she turns to me and says, John, we're doing it all wrong. Come on. But let me just tell you, you can do it all wrong, but how many know if God leads you, he'll help you with all your mistakes. Come on. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, an impartation is very important to Meliana and I. Simply why? That's why I will go to meetings. I will attempt to take time out of my schedule to go somewhere where I'm not the speaker, I'm not doing anything. I just sit there and listen to somebody preach to me, lay hands on me, prophesy over me, because I want what that individual has. And I love those moments. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what I love the most. I love when God all by himself meets me. Where nobody lays hands on me, Nobody prophesies over me. I meet God face to face. We call that an encounter. And right now, it's very difficult to walk through this season in our nation without an encounter from God. And when I think about encounters, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that comes to my mind is, what do I need an encounter with? Because I think the most important impartation that you and I could receive right now is not just that God would heal our bodies, and I want God to heal our bodies. Not just that God would just bless me economically. I want God to bless us economically. But the greatest thing that I want is divine wisdom. Because without divine wisdom, it's going to be difficult for me to walk through this season. And so, when I think about divine wisdom, I think about the fact of this. Everybody say transition. The nation of Israel was in transition. And when you're in a transitionary period of your life, you need wisdom to get where God wants to take you. And so David, the great priest, prophet, worshiper, warrior, is now gone on to be the Lord. And his son Solomon is taking over the reign of king of Israel. And basically, when he began his reign early on in his life, he is so hungry for God that he talks to God in his dreams. Now, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to be so hungry for God, God's talking to me in my night sleep. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when God is talking to him in his sleep, what happens is this. God comes to him and basically says to Solomon, I will give you whatever you want. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what would you do if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to you and said, I'll give you whatever you want. Just ask me. What would our response be? Would our response be, oh, by the way, end this hideous virus. Oh, God, send an awakening to America. Oh, God, put the right president in the office. Oh, come on. Oh, God, take care of Afghanistan. All those things that are before us that we could ask. Or God, get me debt free, or a number of things we could ask God for. They're all legitimate. But ladies and gentlemen, Solomon didn't ask any of those things. He asked the most important thing. God, I want your wisdom. Because God could give me an awakening, he could pay my bills, he could end things, but guess what? If I don't have wisdom, I will not have the ability to last. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And because God was so pleased with Solomon's request, he gave him everything else. But ladies and gentlemen, with every impartation, there is a responsibility. Come on. Because God wouldn't give us something for it just to sit there in the pew. It's meant to be used. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything that God gives us is meant to be used. And what I'm going to talk about is how wisdom is used tonight in this interesting story found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to turn there. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation tonight. Because I love the way it's worded, and then I'm gonna title the message. Listen to what it says. Sometime later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody say two prostitutes. How in the world do these two women now have an audience with the king? How in the world do these women, when they're looked upon society as to be less than human, looked at, nobody wants to be around them, they're objectified, they're traumatized, but now these two women have an audience with the most powerful king in the world at that particular time. How did they get there? I'll tell you how they get there, because there was a life at stake. There was a life at stake. Are you hearing me? Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something that when I was praying over here last night, the life of the church is at stake. The life of God's people are at stake. Are you hearing me? The life of our nation is at stake. And when life is at stake, it demands that you and I go before the king. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And plead our cause. Because let me just tell you, there's lives that are at stake. The life of our nation, the life of our soldiers right now. I, as a church, have to plead the cause of a nation. Are you hearing me? Before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Church, you have to understand, I don't have influence at the White House, but I have influence at the throne of God. I don't have influence at Jefferson City is your capital, right? I don't have influence at Jefferson City, but I have influence at the throne of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I need to plead my cause before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because life is at stake. And because life is at stake, it demands that I do, because if I don't plead the cause, somebody could die. That's how serious it is. Now, with that, listen to this story as I unpack it. So it says, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. "Please, my lord," one of them began, "this woman and I live in the same house. I gave birth to a baby while she was with me in the house. 3 days later, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was only two of us in the house." Verse 19, I want you to see this. "But her baby died during the night when she rolled over on it." The title of my message tonight is "Don't Roll Over." Ladies and gentlemen, as Meliana shared earlier, we were home in our new home 1 week in March and the entire month of April. At the beginning of May in 2020, we got more busy than we ever have in the history of our ministry. And over the last year and a half, I've had the privilege of being at one coast to the other, north and south, all over this great country, and I'm witnessing things. There's something that God wants us to do. Because I could roll over in a crisis. I could roll over when things are bad. Come on. I could roll over on the situation and actually suffocate my legacy and suffocate what God has given me. Because here, this woman was so unconscious that she did not realize what was lying next to her. Ladies and gentlemen, we could roll over on the church. We could roll over on each other. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We could roll over on our faith. We could roll over on our salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why we got to stay alert and awake in this hour. How many mothers do I have in the church? You're a mother. Let me just say this. I have two wonderful children. My daughter Leilani has been here. Leilani and Charles are... Charles is 35, Leilani is 33. I thought Meliana was 33 and I was 35. Come on, when I woke up this morning. Then Meliana reminded me of my bald spot, come on, and my spare tire, come on. So I went running. So praise Jesus. But, ladies and gentlemen, I remember, in fact, I had the privilege of being there at the hospital when both of my children came into this world at their birth. I got to hold them right after they came out of their mother's womb. And what an amazing thing. But a few hours later, when they sent Meliana home, I want to tell you something. That baby became the center of attention. Do you know why that baby became the center of attention? Because that baby cannot live without the mother. Oh, come on. See, you got to understand, the world can't live without the church. Are you hearing me? The world can't live without the church. That's why the church is more essential than the government. That's why the church is more essential than the health department. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the health department don't believe in divine healing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I will tell you something, that the mother is the most important person to that child, because that child cannot stay alive without the mother. Come on. That's why we understand something. Why do you think the devil is fighting us so hard? Why do you think the devil wants to shut down the church? It's simply because it's the church that grows up people. Come on. It's the church that knows how to nurture people and take care of people. Because let me just tell you, we can't afford to roll over on Kansas City. Come on. We can't roll over on Missouri. We can't roll over on this generation. So notice this. And I know this. Because the babies, when they came home, they didn't go to their crib. They went right next to the mother. Because no matter how tired the mother is, when that baby has a need, the mother is there to attend to the needs of that child. That's why in church, if we're born again, what we are to do is attend to the needs of people. Are you hearing me? We're called to serve what God has entrusted us with. And so here in the context of the story, here's a child that mother was entrusted with. Come on. We've been entrusted with this building. We've been entrusted with this great couple. I don't want to roll over on our pastors. Come on. I don't want to roll over on these young people. I don't want to roll over on my generation just because things are going crazy. Now notice this. But then you have to think, what kind of mother would be so unaware of what's lying next to her that she rolls over on her own baby? Someone that doesn't care. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you got to see. I'm going to come back to that in a moment, because I want you to see this, because the language is absolutely amazing. It says, then she got up in the night. Everybody say, in the night. Turn to your neighbor and say, in the night. How many know we're in the night right now? We're in the night. Notice what happens in the night. It's absolutely amazing. And took my son from beside me. Notice what happens in the night. How many know, because I can tell you right now, in the night the devil came and took the son. Oh, come on. It's in the night that the devil is coming to steal our children. At night. Come on. Not during the day, at night. So in the night, notice what happens. In the darkest moment, notice what happens. It says, in the night, and took my son from beside me while I was asleep. Wait a minute, won't. I'm not gonna completely disregard the responsibility of the other mother, because you mean to tell me you're so asleep that you would let the devil steal what God gave you? Come on. That's why you can't let the devil steal your joy. You can't let the devil steal your peace. You can't let the devil steal your miracle. You can't let the devil steal your faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because I know a lot of times people had faith until the virus came. I've been to some churches where they put the thermometer up on your forehead. And I asked them, what happened to your hand? I thought we were supposed to lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover, rather than put a thermometer to tell you your temperature. I don't need to know my temperature. I'm already past 98.6. Come on, I'm already burning up for God. Are you hearing what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? But the thing is, if I put more authority and weight on the temperature than I do God's word, then something is wrong with that picture, ladies and gentlemen. That's because we're trusting in the world rather than trusting in what God already said. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this. Here she is. You mean to tell me you're so asleep that you would, I can tell you right now, Meliana, I know her. There's a wild side. She may look like a Polynesian flower, but sometimes she can be a Polynesian warrior. I've been married to her 37 years. She's got a wild side and a mean streak and will cut you up and slice you up and then spit you out. Come on. And then you got to go into the prayer room and repent for 3 days. Are you hearing me? And I will tell you this, I have to tell you, there is no way that anybody could break into the house and steal her baby. Come on. And what are we doing? Allowing the devil to come into the church. Steal our joy, steal our faith, steal our purpose. Oh, come on. As if COVID-19 is going to determine my purpose. You know what? The government doesn't determine my purpose. God is the one that called me, not Joe Biden. God called me. And whatever Joe Biden says doesn't matter. God called. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. Because here's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. We listen to the mayor of Kansas City before we'll listen to the voice of God. He's not born again. What am I expecting him to say? I need to pray for him. I need to pray that he encounters God and has divine wisdom. That's what I'm called to do. But certainly not heed everything they say. Listen to this. So the baby is taken in the night. Now, understand the story. She's unpacking something to Solomon. And then she says, she laid her dead child in my arms and took mine to sleep beside her. Listen to this. What is that? That's an exchange. Because this is exactly what the enemy does. He takes what's living and exchanges and gives me what's dead. And I don't even know that I'm lying next to a dead thing. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me? And I don't even know that there's something dead and I'm lying next to it and it's asleep. Because I'm asleep. Notice this. I want you to see this. And in the morning, listen to this. And in the morning, because I want you to heed what I'm going to say right now. And in the morning, when I tried to nurse my son, everybody say, nurse my son. I want you to see this. What do mothers do? They nurse their babies. Because that's how their babies get their food in order. She does what mothers do. What does the church supposed to do? Nurse the people. Come on. Give milk, give life, give hope to people that walk into our door. Come on. Now notice what happens. When I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. If you hear anything tonight, I want you to hear what I have to say. You know what can happen? We live in a world today that are nursing dead things. Giving their life. How many know a year and a half later, the government is still nursing the virus? Certainly, I'm not saying that it's not real. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Still nursing the same narrative, the name narrative. And what is it doing? And it's not doing anything. Nothing is changing. All it's doing is taking the life out of people. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The mainstream media, including conservative media, all they're doing is nursing dead things, ladies and gentlemen. And the longer I nurse dead things, it's going to take the very life out of me. See, I am not going to nurse dead things. Because there's a lot of dead things I can nurse. I can nurse being offended. I can nurse being angry. I can nurse being frustrated. I can nurse the sickness. I can nurse the virus. I can nurse a lot of things that are not going to produce any life. But when I come to the house of God, the last thing I want to nurse is dead things. Because Jesus said, I came to give life and life born abundantly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, that's why I don't nurse cancer. I don't nurse the doctor's diagnosis, because if I nurse the diagnosis, I'll never stand up to get healed. Come on. The reason people have not come back to church is because they've been nursing what everybody's saying except the Bible. Come on. And you know why? I'm going to tell you right now. You start nursing what God says, you'll produce life. She nurses something dead. Because how many know you, she gave her breast milk to something that couldn't receive it? Feeding something that's dead. Feeding the fiction. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we need divine wisdom. Because divine wisdom sees right through it. I'm not feeding the fiction. I'm feeding on his word and feasting at his table. And when I do that, my mind is renewed. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because guess what? When Meliana called Leilani, and Leilani obviously would have tested positive. She never got tested. If we would have fed the fiction, oh, sweetie, go down and get tested. Well, we already know you got it. Come on. Why don't we pray that you'll get over it? Come on. Why don't we sow a seed believing that God's going to heal you instead of feeding the same narrative the world is feeding? We decided to feed what God says. By his stripes I'm healed. Forget not his benefits. He heals all my sicknesses and all my diseases. Come on, church. That's what I got to feed. Whether I see a miracle or not, I still got to feed what God says. Come on. Otherwise, I'm going to be like those 10 spies that bring a bad report. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why they had a bad report is they were feeding something dead. Come on. But Caleb and Joshua didn't feed something dead. They fed something alive. We can take these people. God is on our side. Come on. And so what happens is, let me just tell you, church, how many know that God, how many know that God said that, how many of many prophets said that Donald Trump would be the next president? And then it didn't happen. So what do you do with that? Well, first of all, I want to just make this very clear. Every prophetic word is conditional. So when God speaks something like that, I'm not going to doubt that any of those men and women heard God. I'm not going to say that. Whether they did or not. I'm not gonna take that place, and nor am I going to point the finger and say they are false prophets. Because the definition of a false prophet is someone that has an intent to deceive. The false prophets sit in the White House. Come on. The false prophets are on the news every night. The false prophets is painting an antichrist picture to get an entire culture to believe what they're saying. Though the false prophets are in positions of power, making decisions. Come on, modern tech. Come on, tech. tech, Apple, Facebook, all these big tech companies. They're the false prophets. They're painting a narrative to get the entire public to buy into their lies. They're the false prophets. There's not a false prophet in this room. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And none of those men and women had an intent to deceive the body of Christ. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So before I said, oh, you're a false prophet because it didn't come to pass, maybe what I did is I fed on the fiction so much and believed a lie and didn't obey the word and didn't protect that prophetic word and didn't do my responsibility by voting. Come on. Because Barna, they do statistics, says there's 141 million evangelicals in the United States. If 141 million evangelicals would have voted, guess what? We wouldn't be talking about this right now. Now, I'm not trying to get political here because that's not my point. My point is this. What are we going to feed on? She's feeding something that's dead. And anybody that feeds something that's dead, they're going to die. They're going to be drained emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every area. So notice this. Now, she doesn't really know what's happening because she's saying past to present. She's telling Solomon her story. Then she says, when I tried to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I look more closely in the morning light, everybody say morning light. Aren't you thankful that light comes? Aren't you thankful that light reveals the truth? Because as long as it stays dark and there's no light, we don't know what the truth is. But when I look more closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't my son at all. Now, the light exposed what the enemy had done. Actually, that other woman had stolen her baby. Without light, ladies and gentlemen, we don't know if we've been robbed or not. Without light, we'll believe anything. But then, here's what happens. Then the other woman interrupted verse 22. It certainly was your son, and the living child is mine. No, the first woman said, the living child is mine, and the dead one is yours. And so they argued back and forth before the king. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a dilemma here. We have a dilemma here, and it's the same dilemma that we have right now. We are actually in the same shoes as Solomon is in at this hour. What is the truth? What is the truth, preacher? Because we got one group saying one thing and another person saying another. Come on. We got one group saying he's the president, and the other group says the election was rigged. Come on. What's the truth? We got one group wanting to get vaccinated. The other group said they don't want to get vaccinated. Come on. We got one group saying all the sick people in the hospital are unvaccinated. We got another group said all the sick people are the vaccinated people. What's the truth? Because, ladies and gentlemen, society cannot exist without truth. Come on. You cannot have a healthy society without some semblance of truth. What's the truth, preacher? Because without the truth, guess what's going to happen? We're going to have two babies killed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Without the truth, then we're going to lose both people because it's imperative that we find out who the real mother is. Come on. It's imperative we find out who the real church is. It's imperative that we find out who's a real Christian. Come on. Not who's a pseudo-Christian. Not who's a Facebook Christian. Come on. But who's a real Christian? It's imperative. Solomon is in a dilemma. Because he's got to find out who the real mother is. Because listen to this. Then the king says, let's get the facts straight. Both of you claim the living child is yours, and each one says that the dead one belongs to the other. Because Solomon is the kind of king that's got to protect the living. Because any king that doesn't protect the living shouldn't be king. Bottom line. Bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, you don't protect the living, you don't care about the people. So how in the world is Solomon going to find out who the real mother is? And how are you and I today, right now, August what? 27th, 2021, how are you and I going to discern what the truth is and what the truth is not? Because if I don't discern the truth, guess what? I could be walking into a trap. If I don't discern the truth, I could be walking into deception, because Jesus warned me more about the devil in the New Testament, more about deception than he did the devil. In the New Testament, do not be deceived. Come on. Deception will be the number one thing that it trip people up in the end times. Deception. Even with God's people. So it's imperative that I find out what the truth is. Now, let me just tell you. How do I do that? Pastor JC, can I borrow this? So what does Solomon do to find out what the truth is? Verse 24. All right, bring me a sword. Everybody say, bring me a sword. Everybody say, bring me a sword. How many want a sword tonight? Come on. You know what, ladies and gentlemen, I may never know who the real president is in my lifetime, but my Bible says that everything will be known. Come on, all things will be hidden, will be unveiled. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I may never know what's really going on in my lifetime, but at the end of the age, when Jesus comes and takes over the earth, come on, and rules and reigns, like he said, all truth will be known. Are you hearing me? That's why I cannot make a decision without the sword. It's the sword that's going to define what truth is and what truth is not. Now, church, can you imagine trying to lead a nation, lead an organization without a sword? That means you're leading based on your own thoughts, experience, or your wrong counsel. But ladies and gentlemen, what the church needs is the sword of the Lord. Because the sword of the Lord will remind you who you are. It will remind you of your authority. It will remind you of what God said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because ladies and gentlemen, because the sword, because I read that actually someone called me that's very much in society. He says, John, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. I said, what is it? He said, you got to see the statistics. So they text it to me, and this is what it said. 90% of evangelical Christians do not make their decisions based on the Word of God. So, Pastor Dennis, what that means, how are they making their decisions? That means they're making their decisions based on their experience and based on their feelings. Come on. So feelings or experience are determining their direction. Come on. That's why I love the Word of God. That's why I love the sword. That's why I love sitting for hours and studying the sword. Because what the sword is going to do, the sword is going to tell me the truth. Come on. Because God is not a man that he should lie. Bring me a sword. Everybody say, bring me a sword. Bring me a How many want a sword tonight? How many want a sword tonight? Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. So listen to this. Then it says, a sword was brought to the king. Then he said, listen to this. Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. You mean to tell me you want to take the sword and divide? There's people that do that. We call that denominationalism. We have so many denominations today because people have taken the word out of context. Oh, come on. And instead of using it to heal, they use it to divide. Oh, come on. Or to justify their actions. Do you know that today there are homosexual churches that actually use the sword to prove that their lifestyle is okay? Oh, come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do you realize that there are churches that use the sword to actually do things that are completely outside of Jesus' teaching? Come on. Because they find some obscure scripture. Come on. To justify their behavior. The sword was never used to divide. The sword was there to heal. Come on. Solomon had no intention of cutting the child in two. Come on. He had every intention to find out who the real mother was. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? When the sword comes, how many know the real church stands up? That's why we need to stand up like never before. That's why I'm so thankful I got a microphone right now and traveling all over this country and all kinds of different churches and different sizes, because I will tell you right now what this church needs is the sword. Come on. And the real church to begin to stand up. Because guess what? Because the sword is coming, the real church is going to defend the child. Come on. The real mother is going to defend the little baby. The real mother is going to say enough is enough. Come on. But ladies and gentlemen, we have denominational officials right now bowing their knee to the government. Enough is enough. I heard your pastor tell me years ago that we had an opportunity as a movement to say enough is enough with abortion, and we did not stand up because we felt like abortion was a political issue. It's not a political issue. It's a God issue, because God is a giver of life, not a taker of life. He's a life-giving spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? And so we bow the knee instead of using the sword. Come on. Because we're more concerned about how we are viewed, and we don't want to be looked at as rebellious. Well, guess what? I'm a rebel prophet. Oh, come on, church. But I'm so rebellious, I'm going to speak the truth because I don't want people to go to hell. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he said, bring the child, give half to one and half to the other. You know why? Because Solomon has no intent of killing that baby. Because, ladies and gentlemen, let me just tell you, it's easy for somebody to sign a bill to kill a child that's not theirs. Listen to this. Then the woman, verse 26, I love this. Then the woman who was the real mother who loved the real mother of the living child, who loved him very much, cried out, oh no, my Lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. I want everybody to say this. Options. Now, let me just tell you right now. Trying to think, because geographically where I am. How many know there's a lot of restaurants in Kansas City, there's a lot of options to eat? But how many know if you're in a little town of Kearney, Nebraska? Come on. There's a lot less options. Come on. I speak in Kansas, but I speak on the other side of the state, on the southwest corner of Kansas, in a place called Liberal, Kansas. It's about 6 hours from here. I like Kansas City because in Liberal, Kansas, after church, we can't go out to dinner. But when I'm in Kansas City, we can go out to dinner because there's a lot more options. Come on. But ladies and gentlemen, let me think about this. Here's this mother. She doesn't have very many options, come on. And what I believe right now is God is reducing the options. She has one option. One option. I've got to keep my child alive, come on. And see, this is the thing. How many feel a call to ministry, a call to be used of God? Come on. How many feel a call to be used of God? Let me just tell you, we've got one option. Keep the church alive. Keep the church flowing. Keep the Spirit moving. Keep doing what God's called us to do. That's my only option. I don't have an option to close down. I don't have an option to lock down. I don't have an option to do what the government says. That's not my option. That's their option, but it's not my option. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the option they have chosen, but that's not my option. I have one option. Keep the doors of the church open. Come on. Get people saved. Get them delivered. Get them healed. Are you hearing me? Because I'm sure Meliana will share the testimony, but last Sunday night, one of the little girls, a little girl, who works on the staff, she's 19, brought her mother on a wheelchair up to the altar call. The church is about 300 on Sunday morning, so probably Sunday night there was 150, maybe 200 in the congregation, and we gave an altar call. We're having a great move of the Spirit. They have a tremendous worship team. The worship team were singing. She comes up to the front. I go up to her. I start to prophesy over to her. Then I just, all of a sudden, the same thing Peter said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Come on. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. At that moment, you know what? I simply said, rise up and walk. She stood out of that wheelchair. She not only walked like this, but within about 2 minutes, she started dancing all over the altar. I just got a text today of someone sending a motion. She went to the doctor. She is completely healed. Her back is completely healed. Every part of her body. She'll never be in that wheelchair again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The CDC can't do that. The healthcare officials can't do that. But my Jesus can do that. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, that's my only option. That's my only option. And the pastor said, I almost didn't have a Sunday night. Because we did Friday just like this weekend. We did Friday, we did Saturday, and we did Sunday morning, and we did Sunday night. And they thought that was a lot. And he goes, man, I am so thankful that we had church. Because Wanda, if we did not have the church, Wanda could have been stuck to that chair. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But today, she is walking. She has a quality of life because the power of God came. That's why we need the power of God in Kansas City. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The church needs to be the church. It says, we don't have another option. You may have an option. I don't have an option. I have to keep the people alive. And the people are going to die stuck in their home wearing a mask. They're going to die stuck in there looking. What are they doing? Watching the news, watching TV, doing all that stuff, getting bored with life. Next thing you know, they'll be looking at porn. Next thing they know, they'll be drinking, drowning out their sorrow. We don't have an option. We have to go after God. We have to become alert. So at that moment, but think about this. What does she say? Oh, Solomon, oh, king, don't kill the child. See, because it's easy to kill what's not yours. Why do you think Como Homo left? Okay, I said that. Because guess what he did? He signed a bill in 2019 for late-term abortion when a child come out. You don't think that God's involved? You can't do that. And then what? And then says, oh, the reason why were the numbers of COVID not down is because I've done it, not God. Now, church, you can't do that. And let me just tell you, the sword's coming. The sword of the Lord's coming. And I can say this to you. Are you hearing me? We have to be in a place when we don't have any options. Come on. You don't have an option. If you don't come to church, you could backslide. If you don't come to the house of the Lord, get touched by God. Because let me just tell you, I'm having church at home. No, you're not having church at home. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You think you're having church, but you're not called to have church in home. Oh, they met in homes back in the New Testament. You know why? Because they didn't have a constitution. We got a constitution that says that separation of church and state. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We can meet in the house of God. We can fellowship together. We're essential. Are you hearing me? So, ladies and gentlemen, now hear this. She didn't have any options. I've got to keep my son alive. Now listen to this. Her only option is to keep her son alive. So that means she actually is willing to give her child to the woman who rolled over on hers. Just to keep him alive. Because here's the thing. When you're in a spiritual warfare to that magnitude, you cannot pull out the church card. Oh, we're the mother. I'm the mother of the child. Oh, we're the church. It don't work. You know what she does? How many know that she's the rightful mother? We already read that. She's the rightful mother. She's had a major injustice happen to her. And justice is a popular word now. Church, I don't know why we're not standing up and saying enough is enough. Where's the justice for 13 soldiers? Oh, come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Where's the justice? Where's the justice to those families? Well, there's kids, come on. Their parents, come on. There's their sons. Oh, come on. Where's the justice in that? See, that is why, ladies and gentlemen, justice is popular, but there is a God of justice. There is a God of justice. And let me just tell you, there is a God of justice. And we may not see justice even happen like now, but God is going to serve justice. Come on. Because he's not going to let things go on like the way that are in. Are you hearing me? But this is what happens when you don't have divine wisdom. Come on. This is what happens when you don't walk in the wisdom of the Lord. You listen to some crazy counsel. Come on. You listen to the doctrine of demons. Come on. Instead of common sense. Because we need a revival of common sense as well. Come on. Really, we need a revival of common sense. What is common sense? I don't negotiate with demons. I don't negotiate with people who do not value life. Period. I don't care what you think. Because the psychologist, they just got a disease and they're this and this. But you know what? Do you know that psychologist is crazy in his head anyway? Come on. So why am I listening to that? Instead of listening to right wisdom that says, I've got to protect the life of my people. Come on. I got to protect the life of an just like this woman. So when I look at wisdom, who has wisdom here? The mother. The church has wisdom. The church has the wisdom. Because the church is the one organization that values life. So what does she do? She doesn't pull out, I'm the mother card. How dare you? I'm under attack right now. She doesn't even do that. There's a lot of, I hear this all the time. I'm under attack. I'm under attack. I'm under attack. If you got divine wisdom and under attack, God will give you a strategy to win the battle. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. I've been under attack. 2 weeks ago, guess what? I was in Kentucky. I had never happened this in all my entire life. I'm preaching in a tent. I get attacked by mosquitoes and bugs. I got so many bites all over. It got infected. It got my skin lumping all over the time. I said, guys, it got worse and worse and worse. I put calamine lotion on. I put all kinds of things on. Nothing worked. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then guess what I did? I decided to go on a fast. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I a fast and a shot. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? And they shot me with a steroid, and guess what? And it cleared it up in that day. But ladies and gentlemen, I talk about under a spiritual attack. I couldn't wear a short sleeve shirt. I had to wear a long sleeve shirt for a week, and so in the heat every night. You know what? Because I had to wear a collar up here because I had all these lumps on my neck. It was. Probably it felt like Job. They got the boils on me. My wife was looking, oh, John, what's going on? You know, but you know what? It was ugly. It was nasty. But guess what? I'm completely healed right now. Because when I'm under attack, guess what I'm doing? I'm going to a counterattack. I am not going to give in to the devil. I don't care what you try to pull on me. I'm going to save souls, deliver people. Are you hearing me? We almost canceled the service. But I said, devil, I'm not letting you cancel my meeting. I was itchy, uncomfortable. I'd wake up in the middle of the night itchy, take 3 or 4 showers a day. But you know what? But my Bible says this kind comes out through fasting and prayer. See, some of us let the devil attack us and don't fast and pray. I ain't letting the devil attack me and not encountering back. You attack me with anything, you attack my family, I am swinging hard. Come on, I'm raising my sword. See, this is exactly what the woman did, but how she did it was wisdom. How she did it was wisdom. Because here's how she did it. She gave up her right as the mother. Because if I stand up for my right, I may lose my child. But if I give up my right in order to preserve the life of my child, I trust the God of justice is going to give me my child back. Oh, come on. See, by giving up her right, it doesn't look like she's going to win, but we find out she does. Oh, come on. Because no one wants to give up their right. They want to hold on. I want to hold on to my right. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. By holding out, I'm right, she's never going to get justice. By giving up her right, guess what God does? God steps in. You got to see this. Oh, no, my Lord, give her the child. Please do not kill him. But the other woman said, all right. He will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. Oh, Jesus. You don't have to be a prophet to find out who the real mother is now. Because the real church is the one that loves. The one that doesn't love is not the real church. See, the real mother love the child to do anything to protect his life. The mother that wasn't the child didn't care that the child that wasn't hers was cut in two. Because she already lost hers. Who cares if he, like, that's not mine anyway. She already rolled over on hers. That's why I'm not rolling over, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what Solomon did? Solomon stepped in, give the first woman the mother, that she is the mother of the child. She is the real mother. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, how many want this church to grow? How many want people to come in? You know what? People will come in when we don't roll over on them. Come on. They may look differently, sing differently, sound differently, do all kinds of, but I'm not rolling over them. Can I tell you something right now? I'm preaching this message for me too. Because when we started that church 2.5 months ago, the first week I wanted to roll over. I told Angie at lunch, I said, Angie, you know what? In 24 years of traveling as an itinerant minister all over the country, I never knew what it was like to become a pastor, right? And so I have pastor friends that would tell me, hey, John, pray for me. I'm taking a sabbatical. I said, why are you taking a sabbatical for you? For aren't you on fire for God? Let me just tell you, I have a different story now, a different narrative now. Because after 1 week, I wanted to take a sabbatical. 1 week. She was 1 day. Come on, I was 1 week. I mean, right, 5 days. I was like, God, I got to take a vacation right now. Because I was dealing with, I not only wanted to roll over, I wanted to punch. Come on. I wanted to turn old gangster type. Come on, like I used to be. I was dealing with, not that it was directed toward me. There were just different ideas and people saying one thing and people saying that. I mean, how is a pastor supposed to hear God when you got 200 voices telling you what to do? Oh, come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to, okay, God, I get it, you know. But ladies and gentlemen, but I stand here tonight. God, this is what you gave me. You gave me broken people. You gave me this generation. You caused me to be born in 1962, and you caused me to live in 2020 and 2021 under an attack of our nation. You caused me to live in this hour, and you called me to live in this moment. And that's because you knew that I wouldn't roll over on what you gave me. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You caused me to pray and be alert. I can't just throw up my title card. The world doesn't answer that. The kings don't answer that. What I have to do is I have to have your divine wisdom. Because if I have divine wisdom, it doesn't matter what the government does. Because God, how many know that God outwits the government every single time? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've been to some churches. Everybody walked in the mask. When we got church, we all took our mask off. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because where I'm going to Hawaii, pray for us. I'm going to Hawaii next week, and you think it's not for vacation. I'm going to a conference, and let me just tell you, it's on the government's on another level of tyrannical leadership. Let me just say they're tyrants, absolute tyrants. And I will tell you this: they should go to jail for what they're doing to the people. I'm telling you right now. But I will tell you, I will tell you. On Friday night next week, a week from today, I'll be sitting in Maui, and there'll be 25 to 3,500 people worshiping God in the sanctuary in a state where you're not supposed to do that. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we have decided enough is enough. Come on, we're having church. We were there last year. We're here again. We're going to have church as usual. We're going to have altar calls. We're going to lay hands on the sick. We're not putting a thermometer on you. We're not putting you behind plexiglass. Come on. Worried about whether you're going to get the spray from my spit. Come on. Are you hearing? My spit is anointed, by the way. Come on. Are you hearing me? I've seen people get healed from my spit. Actually, I was in Idaho one time, and I was prophesying. I had a breath mint in my mouth. You know those lifesaver type breath mints. And I'm you know how I prophesy. Like, blah, 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 start yelling at them. Bam! And the breath mint hit the guy's forehead, and he fell out in the spirit. Come on. I said, give me that breath, man. I'll use it every time. Come on. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what? How many don't want to roll over? How many say, I don't want to roll over? I'm not rolling over. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in a moment, we're going to respond to this message. But before I do, how many are going to say, I'm going to stay alert and not roll over? I don't want to roll over on what Pastor Karen and Pastor Dennis has built. I don't want to roll over on Sean and Becky. That's why when Becky let my wife know we're having a prayer meeting, we changed our flight. Not like we're not busy, but we don't want to roll over on you. That's why we'll never roll over on you. I don't want to roll over on my marriage. Are you hearing me? I don't want to roll over on my children or my grandchildren. I don't want to roll over on my church in Tucson. I don't roll over on Pastor JC and Angie. Are you hearing me? I don't want to roll over on them. Because I can't afford to. Because guess what? God entrusted me with the people in my life. And if I love them, I won't roll over on them and suffocate their destiny. See, in the reality, that woman, the real mother, did roll over on her baby. And because she protected life, God rewarded her. Come on. And preserved the life of her child. And I can tell you something right now. I believe with all my heart that if we don't roll over at this hour, God will reward us. Because I've been traveling all over the United States and I've watched this. This has been true to be true. That the pastors and leaders who did not roll over are the ones that are thriving today. Come on. I got a call a couple of weeks ago from a friend of mine. A friend of mine outside of Bakersfield, California, who never shut his church down. Never once. The health department called him. He never shut his church down. I have one pastor up in Central California near Fresno, California. The police came to his church. He never, ever, ever shut his doors. And guess what? Both of those churches are thriving like crazy. Because guess what? God's defending them. Come on. God defended them. Are you hearing me? And let me just tell you right now, because there is a move of God across the country. Come on, there is a move of God across the country. When I from one coast to the other, people are awakening in America. People are awakening in America because you know what? People say, "I'm not rolling over." Say, "I'm not rolling over." Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. In a few moments, we're going to respond to this message. But before I want to do, how many believe that we should sow into this word? Come on. We should sow into this word. Because you know what? Anytime I see, man, I was so funny because what Mariana said about investment. About investment. Because I invested, you know, not a lot, but, you know, a couple thousand. You know, that's not a lot. And this stock called Virgin Galactic. Virgin Galactic, by the way, is an airplane that goes into space. And then what they're doing is they're an outfit out of New Mexico. They can actually fly you up in space and drop you in Japan in an hour. It's amazing technology. You can go to space for $250,000 now. I mean, that's not too bad. You guys want to go to space? No, not that bad. You know, anyway, so I invest in the stock. And when I invested it, it went way up. And I held on to it. I probably should have sold it. And 2 weeks ago, it went way down, you know. No, it didn't die. I'm holding on to it. I'm going to buy some more. So my wife laughed at my investment, you know. Actually, I only lost $500. That's not too bad. I'll just hold on to it for a few weeks, and so it'll go back up. But that was funny. Everybody say investment. Let me tell you something what happened. Last month, when I was in Kansas in Liberal, I got a call from a young man. He's 27 years old. His dad's the pastor of a great church in California, a place called Oroville, California. He's on staff. He does everything. But his primary job is he's a worship leader and does a fabulous job. And he calls me up. Now, I know how much he gets paid by the church, and it's not that much. It's even quite not enough to live on. Come on. But he has a little house and everything, so he's okay. And I know how much he gets paid, and he calls me up. He says, "John, I just can't. I just want to sow seed into your new church. I can't get it off your mind." I said, his name is Brandon. I said, "Brandon, it's great." He goes, "How do I give?" I said, "I don't know. Let me call my son-in-law." And so, because he set up this text giving or whatever. So I called my son-in-law. I said, "Text me the app or how I got someone who wants to give. So I tell Brandon I'm going to text it to him. I text him the app. About an hour later, I get a call from my son-in-law. And he tells me, oh, by the way, your friend Brandon sold $5,000. 27 years old. I mean, I was thinking maybe 200, honestly, because I know how much he makes. $5,000. I call him up and I say, thank you, Brandon. You know what he says? I made a huge money off the stock market and decided to tithe. I said, okay, praise Jesus. Keep doing stocks, Brandon. But let me just tell you. When he told me that, I didn't make the connection until recently. 7 years ago, because we know that one day he's going to take his dad's church. 7 years ago, we were in Houston, and John Maxwell was speaking at Chris Hodges' church in Birmingham, Alabama, and we wanted to see him in person. He was doing two nights, well, a day session and a night session. And it was only $75. So we called Brandon. I said, Brandon, we want to fly you out here on our dime, put you in a hotel, take you to the meeting, and then fly you back home. He said, sure. When he was 7 years ago, we invested probably maybe $800 to $1,000. But 7 years later, it came back to me. Come on. 500 times. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because of investment. Because our greatest investment is people. Investing in people. Meliana and I are taking three to Hawaii. Three of them. Yes. Three people from our church in Arizona. We've paid their way, going to pay their housing, pay the thing. It's probably going to cost, I don't know, between 5,000 and 7,000, something like that, you know. But you know why we did that? Because we wanted to invest in them. Because I know something. I know it will come back more than I've ever given, because you can't outgive God. Why would you do that? Because I'm not doing it for me. Obviously, Virgin Galactic hasn't worked out. All right. Are you hearing me? But God's economy works every single time. So I can't imagine the return we're going to get, Meliana, from what we sowed into this family. Because this family has brought most of our people there. And I just wanted to, as an appreciation, we just felt led. We were praying one day, and we felt led of the Lord to do it. Why would you do that? I mean, that's a lot of money to invest. But you know what? It's not about me. It's about investing in others, because I'm going to see a kingdom return. Come on. Not only economically, but I'm going to see them. It's not just the economic return, but the spiritual growth. Come on. The love, appreciation, loyalty, all that comes with that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And see, because you know why? I'm not rolling over on them. And sometimes we rope. If a person attends this church and doesn't pay their tithe, they're rolling over on the vision of the church. Period. If they don't sow into what the church is doing, they're rolling over on the vision of the church. What's going to happen, and then the enemy's going to come at night and rob them of their life. Come on, I've seen it happen every again. Because let me just tell you, it's okay to rob me. You know, I don't want to be robbed, but don't rob God. Come on. Don't rob God. I mean, that's the last person you want to rob. Because why don't do what God says in order to get a return? How many want a return? Come on. How many want a return? And not just economically. No. You know, I appreciate when Brandon gave me the $5,000. Believe me, I did. But it's more than that. It becomes health. I mean, I think about tomorrow, pray for us. Tomorrow, I do my 18th COVID test. Every one of my 18 COVID tests, a test has been negative for the last year and a half. Predominantly is because of going back and forth to Hawaii. And then in January, February, we had Hawaii at that time. In order to go to any island, you had to get a test. So we got a test, I don't know, 6 or 7 times while we're in Hawaii back in January and February, because we were going to the different islands throughout those 5-6 weeks that we were there. So that was where most of it was spent. And like Meliana said, we spent between four and five thousand on COVID tests alone. Praise God, tomorrow it's free. Praise God. Come on. Praise God. I'm gonna pull into Walgreens, and I'm gonna stick the most expensive Q-tip I've ever had in my life up my nose, twirl around. But see, Meliana, this is so funny. We were in Kansas City. This was this year. I think it was this year, because we flew in here and we preached in Springfield and Branson. And she scheduled the test, and she didn't know where she scheduled it. So I said, "Honey, we're in the hood. I'm driving down in town. We're in the hood. And we pull into the Walgreens there. And the lady's like, she's got this, you know, like a booth, you know, stuck out bay window. It's got glass. It's a couple of feet. And then she's behind a window with a mask on. That's what. And then she tells me, she hands me this box. Meliana was getting tested. I wasn't, because I didn't want to get tested with the thing, you know. So I did a spit test, you know. I paid for it. So she takes this. I'm sitting in the car. She's in the passenger seat. She hands me the box. She says, "Don't touch it." I said, "Oh, I won't touch it." So Meliana grabs it. And so Meliana pulls out the long Q-tip. I'm sitting right next to her. I'm in the driver's side. She's in the passenger side. And she puts the Q-tip just barely on her tip of her nose. And she goes, "Oh, oh, oh." And the ladies go, "That's deep enough. That's deep enough. That's deep enough." And then, because the lady can't see that far. Nobody can. Come on. Hands are back. I was like, "Honey, what kind of test is this?" You know? Of course, it comes back negative, you know, because it never went up the nose, you know. It never went up the nose. She's going to do the same thing tomorrow. It's not going in my nose and not going in her. Let's play the role. Let's play it. But ladies and gentlemen, that's how stupid people are sometimes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why we got to invest in the kingdom. Come on. That's why I got to invest in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom we'll have divine wisdom and just laugh about their stupidity. Come on, instead of get frustrated. I am going to laugh tomorrow so hard. Yeah, you don't have to pray me. Pray that the spirit of laughter doesn't hit me in the car so bad. I'll go, "Oh." I learned that from Meliana. Come on. She makes her face, "Ma'am, that's deep enough, ma'am. Stop, stop, stop." It never went in her nose. I was right there to witness it. And so I said, "Why do you do? Why don't you just get vaccinated? You know, that's. I'll tell you why would I get vaccinated of something that 99% of the people get healed from?" So that's my take on it. You can have your take on it, but we have to invest in the kingdom. So, Pastor, we have the ushers? Are the ushers coming? Ushers, where are you? If you're making a check, make it out to Pebble Creek. Or do they have a text giving up there? Yeah. Huh? You have an app, you can give out of the app. Here's what I want you to do. I want everyone to do something that is secret to a good offering if everybody does something. How many have your offering in your hand? You have your offering in your hand. Hold it up. I want to pray for it. I want to pray for your offering right now. Well, your phone or however you're going to give. If you're a young person and don't have have any money, come to Meliana. She has a lot of money in that purse. Come on. You can rob her purse just to put in the offering. Come on. She went to the bank today. Come on. Praise Jesus. Hold up your offering. Let's pray for it. Father, we thank you for every single giver. We thank you, Father, that not only will you multiply this gift, but it will multiply to meet the need. Because, Lord Jesus, we know that this is for the furtherance of your gospel. It's for the furtherance of the kingdom. And, Father, I pray that this would be an offering, oh God, that there would be multiplication as they're investing. You do what has happened to Meliana and I. Lord, time and time again, there's testimony after testimony after testimony of divine provision. And Lord, we thank you for the generosity of the wonderful people here at Pebble Creek. Bless them now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, gentlemen. You can collect the offering. In a moment, what I want to do is I want to invite Sean and the worship team up to the front right now. And after they have given, and you can make your way up to the front worship team, our piano player. Aren't you thankful for our wonderful, wonderful anointed worship team? Aren't you thankful for them? Oh, come on. Aren't you thankful for them right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the ushers are going up and down the row, here's what I want to do. Ma'am, could you please stand up? Would you come out to the center aisle? Could you lift your hands to Jesus right now? I'm going to practice my social distancing. If I could get an usher to stand behind her, I would greatly appreciate it. The Spirit of the Lord would say to you, because you did not back and stood your ground these last 6 months and refused to be pushed into a corner and bow your knee to the spirit of manipulation, I am going to cause you to get back everything you've worked for. I'm not going to let the devil rob you of your future. Rob you of your home, rob you of your retirement, rob you of your destiny. And one of the things that the enemy will try to do is come with the arrows of bitterness to try to fire at your heart. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send a company of angels that will catch the arrows and not be able to penetrate your heart, so you can move forward right into the enemy's camp and actually take back what the enemy has stolen from you. And one of the things that the enemy has stolen from you is just not money, but time. Thinking, oh God, how am I, all this time and all this energy, this time and energy that I put in to make this thing work. Was it a waste? And the Lord would say, I don't waste none of your time. Because what I did to you, I literally changed you and caused you to see and walk through the darkness and see a victory, because I shined light before it was too late. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now in the name of Jesus, never to be the same again. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to Jesus all over the house. Lift your hands to Jesus all over the house. Ma'am, would you stand up, please? No, yes, would you stand up? Lift your hands to Jesus. Jesus is going to heal you right now. Sister Becky, can you? you put your hand on the back of her neck right here? My God, my wonderful Jesus, you love this woman so much. You've watched her go through. In fact, it's been 3 months of spiritual attack and warfare on with various things, not only physical, but relational. And then you couple that with then trying to help other people that really can't help themselves. And it's like the life in you, as you're pouring yourself out, oh God, I don't know how much life I have to give. But God told me to tell you that I'm filling your life with my life. And I'm healing your body right now, says the Lord. And as Sister Becky has her hand on your body, the warmth of God is flowing from the top of your head down to the sole of your very feet. There's like a sciatic nerve, like a pain, like a shot of pain that's going to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. And as I lay hands on you, it's done. It's over. From this day forward, I release divine health on your daughter right now, never to be the same again. There it is. God is touching you right now. Hallelujah. 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 Give God a shout of praise in the house right now. Give God a shout of praise. Young man with the collared shirt, with that light blue shirt, would you please stand up? Yes. Come over here. What do they feed you? No, you don't have to kneel down. I mean, what do they feed you? Can I hire you as my armor bearer? Come on. Carry my bag, my books, and everything. You must eat a lot of ribs, man, or something. Lift your hands to this young man. Fine young man. The Spirit of the Lord would say this to you, son. You are coming into a season when the Spirit of God is just going to overwhelm you with a wave of His truth. He's going to answer some questions. He is going to cause you to grow in your faith and grow in the knowledge of Himself. And I'm going to tell you something. There is such an anointing of grace on you that when you walk in the room, people are going to want to hear you. And whatever course you take, in the sense that is a worthy course and a worthy cause, God is going to be with you. But I'm going to, as a man of God, I'm going to have to give you this word. But the enemy will try to steal what God gave you. How the enemy will do it is the same way he tried to make Samson and cause Samson to lose out on his destiny. It was the Philistine women that was constantly pulling on him. And every time he gave in, he lost more and more of his compass until eventually he lost his vision. And the Lord wants me to tell you I brought you here tonight to tell you, be careful. Be careful who you yoke yourself with. Be careful who you become vulnerable with. Be careful who you select to be your friends. I don't want you to forget what I'm going to tell you. In fact, I want you to read the story of Samson. It's found in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of Judges. Not only was the Philistine women the source of his stumble, there was another source, which even was even worse. It's called autonomy. It's called independence. I think there's a town called Independence here. And one of the things the Lord wants me to tell you is in a community is where you'll be protected. When you become autonomous, you have nobody to tell you, no, don't do that. You're too great to do that. And I need to tell you, your biggest success and your greatest victories will become when you're doing it together with a community of people. Because you can do a lot of things by yourself. You're talented like that. When you set your mind to something, you can do it all by yourself. You don't need anybody to help you. You can figure it out. That, because you had to. You had to growing it up. You had to do things. You had to learn. You were even self-taught in many, many things. Never become so autonomous that you don't have anyone speaking into your life to guide you down the path. Father, from the top of his head, put your protection upon this young man. Watch over him coming and watch over him going. Even as he makes a choice, the direction of his course. As you said, you're going to bless it, but let it be done with divine wisdom. I asked you for an impartation of divine wisdom. Remember this. Solomon got the great impartation, but later on forgot what he had been given and chose to go the way of autonomy instead of the way of humility and vulnerability. And ended up in a state he shouldn't have been in. And I'm going to tell you, God wants to protect your future. Because you can give your future to a Philistine. Or you can give your future to righteousness. That is a choice you have to make. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, touch this fine young man for your glory. For your honor. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and give God a shout of praise right now. I want everyone to stand. I want everyone to stand all over the room. All over the room. How many say, preacher, I don't want to roll over. I don't want to roll over. Come on. I don't want to roll over. Here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I want you to run to this altar right now. One, two, three. Come right now. Come right now. Hallelujah. 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 Ma'am in the back with the black and white shirt, would you come up here? I'm looking right at you. Yes, yes. Come up here. Come up here. Give me your hand. Come up here. I want you to stand and face me. Congregation, stretch forth your hands towards her. If I could get an usher to stand behind her, I'd greatly appreciate it. I'm going to say this to you. God has blessed you. And one of the things that God has blessed you with, He's allowed you to enjoy your children's children. But your greatest investment is not just what you will give them, because you will give them things. And you will give them a lot of things, because you love to do that. Your greatest investment that you will give them is the experiences in life. Not to tell them what to do, but to show them how to live. Because all your grandchildren are extremely gifted. They've been blessed. Because years ago, you cried out. Years ago, you labored day in and day out. And the Lord says, daughter, thank you for not rolling over. Because you could have rolled over when it got rough. You could have rolled over when it was lonely for you, when you felt, is there anybody to help me? Because at times you felt, I'm doing this all by myself. But instead of waving the white flag in surrender, you wave the sword. And the sword of the Lord has proved itself. That even many years ago, when the enemy attempted to divide the family, you stood in the gap. You became a negotiator, a mediator, an intercessor. And I took care of it. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, touch her right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Give God a shout of praise in the house. Ma'am, come up here. Ma'am, come up here. Come up here. Jesus is going to heal you right now. How many believe Jesus is going to heal her right now? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand on her, both of her sides right there. Yes, thank you. First of all, I want to tell you, there's a difference between diagnosis and prognosis. Prognosis makes an initial judgment regarding the situation. A diagnosis is when the doctor begins to take steps to give medication to bring about some kind of pain-free existence or some kind of end to the problem. You've had both. But the problem is, neither have brought change and transformation. In fact, even this last 2 weeks, I'm going to say 2 weeks specifically, things have escalated even in your physical body. But you were standing there, and after I got done ministering to that woman and I saw you, the Lord said to me, I'm shining my light on my daughter. Stretch forth your hands, ladies and gentlemen. Ma'am, put your hand on her forehead, if you would, please. Because what's happening right now is things said regarding your condition is keeping the mind from being renewed. And I see a wave of mind renewing word coming on the inside of you and transforming your body even as I speak. Because instead of speaking the best, they've spoken the worst. And so what it does is it plants a seed inside. And because of that, that it gets rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. And it actually becomes a stronghold. It has a foothold in our heart, in our mind. But I heard the voice of the Lord say, I have a foothold in her. I'm the one that's strong on the inside of her. And I'm stronger than every diagnosis or prognosis, says the Lord. And right now, from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, I command your body to line up with the word of God right now. I command your body to line up with my voice right now. This woman is too young to be in the condition that she is in. She has life. She has things to do. She's a woman of faith. She loves Jesus. She loves God. She loves people in the name of Jesus. So I command her body, her legs, her hips, her lower back to line up with the word of God. I command her knees to line up with the word of God right now. Lift both of your hands. Lift both of your hands in the name of Jesus. I command her to be healed right now. To be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I command when I lay my hands on her, when I lay my hands on her, may she never, ever, ever, ever be the same again. When she goes to the doctor, may she get the same bill of health is one that got today that says there's nothing wrong with me anymore. I don't need to see you. You're done, completely back to normal in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and worship. Can we worship, Sean? Can we worship, King?
Praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
Would you sing with Sean?
For you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Put your hand on your heart right now. I want you to say this out loud as a confession. The same life verse that Millian and I have is actually in my second book. My wife quotes it all the time. It's out of Job 22:28. Make a decision, decree a thing, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. What we're doing right now is we're decreeing, and there's a power in our declaration. I want you to say this after me. Jesus, here I stand.
Here I stand.
Tonight,
I did not hear a sermon.
I received an invitation.
To receive
an impartation of your divine wisdom.
Your
So as I stand here tonight, God, in your holy presence, amongst the saints of God, in the church of God, worshiping you, God, I ask you, impart to me your wisdom. Your wisdom, so I can do life, see clearly, and make righteous choices for your glory and your glory alone. Lord Jesus, I confess tonight, I will not roll over on what you've given me. I will not roll over on my promise, on the word of God, on my church, on my family, on my future. Lord God, I will stay alert and prayerful. I will use my sword for your glory and making choices and decisions in Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and thank him all over the house. Thank him all over the house. Thank him all over the house. Hallelujah. 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 Let's worship, Sean. Let's worship.
Yes, we exalt thee. Oh,
release your angels of healing in this room, oh God.
We exalt thee. Yes, we exalt thee. We
Wisconsin, can you come up? Yes.
Wisconsin.
That's your name, right? No, I'm just kidding. Stretch forth your hands to Wisconsin. Lift your hands, young lady. I'm going to ask Sister Karen, Pastor Karen, to lay her hand on your heart. Young lady. Get an usher to stand behind her. I greatly appreciate it. Young lady, I heard the Lord say when you were standing there worshiping God, I value her heart. And because I value what's in your heart, I will not let what I put in your heart die and not begin to grow. The last year, it seems like there's been some roadblocks, some challenges, because you wanted to be a lot further along than you are right now. And simply because things were done that affected you and affected your future and affected your plans. And it felt like you did not have control. That there were other people in control of your future. And I felt I needed to say this to you. Something that I don't want you to forget. It's a word of wisdom and a word of prophecy. There is what we call proactive and reactive. I'll say it again. Proactive and reactive. There are two kinds of people. The proactive person and the reactive person. The reactive person, and I can speak a lot on this, when things are done to them, feel like they've been victimized, and now their life is out of control. the proactive person find another way. They access another opportunity because they understand how the kingdom of God works. That the kingdom of God is a different kind of kingdom, and the value system of this world isn't the same value system of the kingdom of God. And the Lord said this to me when you were standing there. And he said, this young lady is not going to live in reaction to what has been done to her. She's going to be proactive, and she's going to overcome everything that was done to her. Because I'm going to give her a heart like I gave Deborah. In fact, I want you to go home, and I want you to read Judges chapter 4 and 5. Because there was two women. There was Deborah and a woman called Jahael. What Jahael did is she had a tent peg. She killed the enemy with a tent peg. How in the world does she kill a powerful enemy with a tent peg? It's because she accessed what she had. And the Lord says, I'm looking at a Jahael that will access what she has and not let the enemy determine policy in her life. Father, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, as hands are laid on her, I loose this word upon this precious young lady. I loose it in her heart right now. There have been moments when she was 11 and 12 and 13 where there were things done to her that we cannot repeat over this microphone, Father, but you're bigger than anything right now. Touch your daughter in Jesus' name. Fill her with the Holy Ghost right now in Jesus' name. Fill her with the power of your Spirit. There it is. God is touching you right now. Come on and give God a shout of praise in the house. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we worship God again? Can we worship John? Let's sing that song.
Yes, and we exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Adore you, God.
Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy.
Jack, come stand right in here, young man. Stretch forth your hands. Jack's not going to be little long. I was going to call him little Jack, but that would be lying. He'll probably be much taller than I am. And I don't want him to beat me up when he gets older. Jack, lift your hands to Jesus. Jack, your sisters are amazing. But there's something very unique about you. There's such a spirit of a tender heart. In fact, you're so tender, even the people who are picked on and looked upon as not skilled athletically or good looking or seemingly misfits, you have a way of bringing them in being, making them feel like they're worth, they have value. And I'm going to say something to you, Jack. Because you're not just going to be a great athlete. You're going to be a great leader. The people that will work for you one day will not want to work for you just because you give them a paycheck. They'll work for you, Jack, because you empower them and you bring out the best in them and make and value them no matter what. That's a gift, Jack. Because many people have a micromanagement style. That's why things don't grow and multiply. Because they micromanage everything instead of delegate, but delegate by example and by trust. I'm going to tell you, because of how God has made you, Jack, people are going to trust you because you trust them. And you are going to build an organization one day where people can feel vulnerable and be completely transparent before you because they know that they can trust you even with their own family issues. Because not only will you be concerned about profitability, because that's what you're going to do. You are going to make a profit. You'll be concerned about the whole person. You're doing that right now. But you don't have language for it. You're doing that at school right now. Your friends that come over to your house, you're concerned about the whole person. Not just playing games with them. And because of that, son, I will make sure that every year I increase your influence and I increase your impact. Father, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, let's worship him. Let's worship him right now. We exalt thee. We exalt thee, Lord. Close your eyes all over the room. I'm going to read this last verse. In chapter 3 of 1 Kings, verse 27. Then the king said, "Do not kill the child, but give him to the woman who wants him to live, for she is his mother." Hold your hands out like this, ladies and gentlemen. Palms up like you're ready to receive. I'm going to pray for you. I thank you that I'm not just speaking, God, to just any people. I'm speaking to real people who love the church, who love this church, who love these pastors, who love this family. I thank you that they did not roll over. They could have been anywhere tonight, this Friday night, in this beautiful city. There's all kinds of activities. But they chose to come to your house. Now, Lord Jesus, as I pray right now, I pray that you impart to them all that you would want to give them, oh God, in order for them to fulfill exactly what you want them to do. Fulfill and impart what they're lacking and what they have the need of the most. In order that they may accomplish what you have called them to do with excellence, to glorify your Son Jesus. And as Solomon said, give them the child, they're the real mother. Because increase, ladies and gentlemen, doesn't just mean more money, more resources. True increase is more responsibility. Father, I ask you to do that for these. Give them more responsibility because you trust them. You trust them. You trust them. Heal every person physically, emotionally, and spiritually tonight. By the time this weekend is concluded, may every person that comes be miraculously healed by the power of your word. So there will be none sick among us, so we can fulfill what you have called us to do without any delays. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Are you glad you came to the house of God tonight? Are you glad you came? Hallelujah. Pastor JC.
Thank you, brother. Praise God. What a night. God is good. I'm just going to close with prayer. I don't like following Brother Harkey. I mean, how are you supposed to follow? We praise God. We praise Jesus for all that you have done tonight, God, and we look forward to what you're going to do the rest of this weekend. God, I pray, God, that every chair in this place is filled with people. I pray, God, that there's so many people, we need to bring in chairs for people to sit in. Because, God, I believe you have something powerful, Lord, for those who are willing to come, for those who are willing to put aside their own agendas, put aside their own things that they want to do, and they just want to come and they want to hear the word, they want to worship you, and they want to see what you can do, Lord Jesus. So we pray, God, for people to have that vision, that they will come. Help us, Lord, to keep inviting people, Lord Jesus, to send out those emails, send out those texts, call those people on the phone and just say, hey, you need to just come and see. Because, Jesus, I believe you're going to move powerfully this weekend, and I don't think anybody should miss it. So we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for their ministry, for the Harkey's ministry. We thank you, Lord, for Sean and our worship team. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do, all the ways that you bless us. God, help us to be a blessing to those that we come into contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed evening. Get some rest. And be back here at 7 o'clock. Well, actually, no. Be back here at 6:30 to 6:45 tomorrow night. Because you're going to need to be here to get a seat. I believe it. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.